Wait for it, wait for it. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Hallo und ich bin die anderen alte Army. Ich bin David Guerra und willkommen auf der 36. Folge der BerlinBrigade.com Podcast. As I said, I am your host, David Guerra, former member of Alpha Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry, Berlin Brigade, United States Army. And I thank you for taking the time to join me today on this, the greatest podcast exclusively dedicated to you, the men and women that served and supported the mission of the United States' most illustrious and most prestigious unit, the Berlin Brigade, and the Berlin Command. Hey, listen, I hope everyone had a wonderful, happy, and safe Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Weihnachten, and of course, I want to wish everyone a very happy new year. We made it to another year, another turn of the calendar page. So, you know what? Let's make 2012 the best 2012 we can, and let's do it together. And when I say together, I mean you, me, and all the Berlin Brigade veterans, our family, our supporters, our fans, and of course, the wonderful, great, fantastic citizens of the city of Berlin, Germany. You know, while 2012 may be the year of the dragon and is also the last year on the Aztec calendar, while no one is really certain what that all means or what's going to happen, I do know that 2012 will be a year of balance. And of balance, I mean, when I say balance, I mean motivation and balance. We got to do it all together. And it means we're going to make certain that we take care of the serious stuff, and we're also going to have some fun. So we have to have fun. So you know what? Let's start the fun right now. Without any further delay, Los Gates meet Diesen Podcast.
It's time for the special announcements.
Now, before we really get started, I want to take a moment and say thank you for listening to episode 35 and to our special guest, retired Army Colonel John Alvarado. I really hope you like listening to John talk about his time at the Rail Transportation Office there in Berlin. As I said, at the end of the last episode, Colonel Alvarado will be back in a couple of podcasts from now. We're going to continue his conversation, and it's an awesome conversation, especially what we got to talk about and some revelation, or really the something I found out that, well, you'll like it. You know, a new year started, and with that, there have been many resolutions made, many promises made, and the opportunity for something good to happen is here, right now. So this being the time for a new change, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon and make a new change for, well, a new age, a new year. That's right. Starting right now, the BerlinBrigade.com podcast is going to undergo a new change. Now, I plan on doubling the number. Yeah, I know, right? I plan on doubling the number of podcasts per year. Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. But seriously, you know what that means. That's right. You get to hear my voice twice as much in 2012. Now, you may ask yourself, how can Dave do that? Well, it's real simple. Every other episode will be known as the interview episode, as is the case with this episode, number 36, which we will get to in just a few minutes, but let me explain the rest. Then, starting with episode 37, it's going to be purely informational, an update type of podcast. So we're going to minimize the special announcements part and the end part, and we're just going to do interview. And then the next episode, which is 37, will be purely the stuff that we didn't mention this time. So this should make for getting more timely information into your ears a little bit faster. Also, it will help the individual interview guest to point their fans and supporters and followers to the interview faster. And don't worry about the past interviews. We're going to have a separate, I'm going to break that apart as well. And there's going to be separate little podcasts just for them. Now, I'm not going to repeat them. I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is just on the website itself, it'll have, you know, the entire episode or just the interview portion. So you'll have two options, and you'll start seeing those pop up here in the coming weeks. And I'll slowly do them. I'm not going to just slam them all at one time, and that's not what it's about. But we're just going to do it once, you know, a little here, a little there. But like I said, this is strictly this episode 36, and basically every even number after here will be an interview episode, and every odd number starting with 37 will be the informational episode. So let's give it a try, see how it goes. And of course, as always, if you have any feedback or questions or concerns about what we're doing or what's going on here, you know what? Drop me a note. Drop me an email at dave@berlinbrigade.com, D-A-V-E @berlinbrigade.com. And, you know, tell me what's going on or what you think.
Take your seats because it's time for the special guest interview.
Hey, everybody. Joining me today is State Representative James White. James White is the member of the Texas House of Representatives. He serves District 12 in the state of Texas. Yes, he's a neighbor. That's right. He's a representative for four counties in East Texas around the Lufkin area, Tyler County, Angelina County, Trinity County, and San Jacinto County. And if you happen to find yourself in one of those counties, guess what? He's your state representative. He's also, well, he served in the Berlin Brigade, but you know what? I'm going to have him tell you all about it. Representative White, thank you for joining us today. If you don't mind, please just give us a brief bio of where you're from, what you're doing, and what got you to Berlin, and then we'll go from there.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for this opportunity, David. I'm a native Texan, grew up in Houston, went to public schools throughout my entire public school experience in Houston. From there, I went to Prairie View A&M University, where I had just really one aspiration. That was to be an infantry officer and a paratrooper. I won my commission at Prairie View A&M University, went on to infantry officer basic course. And from there, you always have a few choices for assignments. And one place that intrigued me very much was Berlin, Germany, and I was chosen. And that's what kind of attracted me to the city and the idea that as an infantry officer, I would have the opportunity to practice and develop skills in a very particular type of combat engagement and being urban combat.
Yeah, and most certainly we had a lot of unique training, that's for sure. You were there from 1987 to 1990, correct?
Yes, sir. April 8, I believe I arrived on Easter Sunday in Berlin, and I had to actually go out to the west and meet my unit for the first time. They were on a training exercise in Bill Flicken.
Oh, that was different.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was its own unique place. I think we're going to have to dedicate a show just to memories of Veal Flicken.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad thing, but I think we all have unique memories. And wow, right off the bat, you get sent to the West. You come in as a platoon leader, and right off the bat, wow, you just hit the ground running. Well, pretty cool. Let's see, what did you do? What were your various assignments with the? I know you were a platoon leader, but what else were you doing there in the city or as part of the unit?
Yes, been platoon leader for a few months. From there, I moved on to more platoon leader. I had a battery of 81s. After doing that for a few months, transitioned over to the company executive officer. And then the last few months I was in Berlin, I served as the battalion property book officer.
Oh, property book officer. We chatted briefly offline, everybody, and my first comment when he said property book officer is like, oh, yeah, everybody just wants to be the property book officer.
Yeah, it is a very interesting assignment for just an infantry officer. But what happened was I was a few months out from transitioning back to the States, and I believe it was either late December, I believe it was early January, I was still the company executive officer. I was on an advance party going out to the West because we had a training exercise in the West to fire larger caliber weapons. The battalion executive officer came to me and said, James, our current battalion property book officer is retiring. But we're going through a process of combining our battalion property books into one entire brigade property book, and we need you to go back and facilitate that transfer. So I hopped back on the train, went back through Checkpoint Alpha and Checkpoint Bravo, and for the last 3 or 4 months, I was the battalion property book officer effecting that transition.
Yeah. Well, let's talk briefly. You know, a lot of things happened while you were there. You left in 1990, and obviously major events all over the world and even there in the city of Berlin and Eastern Europe during that the late 80s, early 90s. And we'll talk briefly about that a little bit later on. But let's talk about your time in the city. What do you take away? I guess that my question is, what do you take away after you leave the city? What's the one thing that has stuck with you all this time?
Well, growing up in a big city of Houston, you found Berlin not to be very much different. It was an urban area. But what really stuck with me, I think, was the history behind the city. I think as the years have progressed, you find out how important and historic your presence was, in the city at that time was. But it was definitely a special place and a very unique place for infantrymen.
Oh, most certainly. And you, and it just dawned on me as you said that, when you arrived in 87, they were celebrating the 750th anniversary of the city.
So, that's right. Absolutely. That's right. And it still, when I arrived there, it was still very tense. But I think the most memorable experience, David, was when Ronald Reagan came to Berlin early in the summer. I believe it was either May or June. And he gave that famous speech. And, of course, just being an infantry lieutenant, not even, 60 or 90 days in country, I didn't think much about the speech from a significant standpoint. Of course, I'm a fan of Ronald Reagan, but the idea that the speech that he made, and sure enough, just 2 years later, the wall came down.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely one of those moments we never forget. Were you actually there at the gate, or were you at some other duty?
When the wall came down, or...
I'm sorry, when President Reagan gave his speech, were you there?
I wasn't on any duty. I believe they gave all of the officers an invitation to go, and I went. Stood and listened to the speech and clapped and, as a soldier, you're always happy to see your commander in chief. And I just stocked it up as just that.
Oh, yes, it is. It is an exciting time to see your commander in chief. And that is true. It is true. You see the photograph, you know, the chain of command, you see it, you see the chart, you see the organizational chart, you hear the name. But to actually be standing right there where he's talking to you and to your fellow soldiers and your the citizens of Berlin, and he's giving you the mission basically.
Absolutely.
And that's always a good thing. Yeah, it was certainly a thrill to be there, without a doubt. And everybody else that I've talked to that's been there, that was there during that time, it's one of those memorable events that we'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
The experience of the city in itself. And because of what was going on and the wall was still up and we were behind the wall. Any other observations that you've taken back other than, the duty and what we did, but are there any other observations that have stuck with you? Kind of like, wow, I didn't think that would ever happen, or wow, I didn't expect to see this in Berlin.
Well, I think some of the things that stuck with me is the goodness of the people of Berlin, the Berliners, that stayed with me, the goodness and the graciousness of them, and just the goodness and graciousness of the United States. And I had to, a lot of people, of course, during this time, they're very critical of our country, and I think it's good to be constructively critical of your government. But as far as our country is concerned, as a young man, I saw a country that was very gracious, very humble, and the exercise of its power throughout the world. And that is something that has stuck, that has remained with me, you know, even until today.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Well, now we, and I've been alluding to this or been getting to this. We've talked about, you know, the city and what you take away. And I'll ask this, and I guess it's going to become one of those standard questions, and it's not to minimize anyone or anything, any other location, but, okay, well, let me ask you this. Where, after Berlin, once you've cleared the property book, once you've got that all synchronized and everything was good, where did you go off to next? What was your next assignment?
My next assignment was I returned back to the States, to Fort Benning, Georgia, for the Infantry Officer Basic Course, and went through the basic course, stayed in Fort Benning as an infantry officer platoon trainer, and I served in that position for the duration of the, you know, the six, I served 6 years. So that was my last assignment right there in Fort Benning, Georgia, as a infantry platoon officer trainer.
Wow. That was over at the brigade school? I mean, at the infantry school?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was an instructor over at the infantry school. Yes.
Okay. Can I ask? And that's where Gade came in, because I was going to ask about 97th, if that's where you were heading off to.
Yes. Well, I was assigned to the 197th, but it was transferred to Iraq.
Yep.
Shortly after I was enrolled in the officer advanced course, so they were already overseas at that time in 1990 when I arrived back to the States. So once I was complete with the infantry officer advanced course, I just remained in the States. Because at that time, we would have been transferring back. And I just transferred over to become an infantry officer, platoon trainer.
Yeah, that place is definitely unique as well. I'm talking about Fort Benning, and on both sides of the infantry school and the 197th. Because that's where I ended up after I left Berlin, was with 197th. And that was it was different. It was a much different pace. I'll say that much. I guess for a while Berlin, it's moving at such a fast pace. It's a good thing. So yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and I like the training. You know, our training is very realistic, and the soldiers took pride in training and being experts in military operations with other training.
Mostly, and everybody. I didn't run across anybody that didn't want to be there. But again, it just was Berlin, and I guess that also spoiled me, having that on the go situation. Always ready to go.
Yes, sir.
And I started the very first time there with the 17th, and again just kind of moving on. Was the first time to learn alert. Went to 190s, and it was like there was rock full pack, everything ready to go, and they're all looking at me like I'm insane. No, all you got to do is just sign in downstairs. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, alerts were what they were. They were alerting you, and of course we were in the midst of our enemy, the Warsaw Pact and the Russian forces, and so when there was alert, You didn't know if it was, you never knew if it was a real thing or not. And the assumption is, or was, that it was a real thing. So, yes, I remember those alerts very well. And they're very, very realistic. And, of course, we had to take them extremely seriously, Dave.
That kind of leads us to the next thing. I know when I was there, we had the LaBelle disco bombing, and I was already gone by the time Lockerbie happened, and we did lose a Berlin Brigade soldier there. D- Did the climate change in Berlin after the Pan Am Flight 103 incident?
Yeah, it was always on the back of our minds, the growing incidents of Islamic-inspired or Middle Eastern-inspired terrorism. There were some times when, in heightened alert, that we did have to put some of our soldiers out on mounted Humvees with M60s and 50 cals armed, protecting our families and our children, going to post and going to school, and consistently and frequently reminding our soldiers that, it's dangerous. It was dangerous. So that was always on our minds, especially when we allowed the soldiers some R&R time.
That was kind of the same climate in the spring of 1986. I mean, there were MP vehicles that were armed and cruising behind the buses and the housing and school areas. I didn't know that it continued after the situation in Lockerbie there in Berlin. So that's good to know.
There were periods that were, I remember that were quite tense. And, you know, even parts of the city that we cautioned our soldiers to, you know, be on a more heightened alert if they were to go through those parts of the city.
Okay, now let's move on to 1989. Throughout the summer of 89, the borders between Eastern Europe and Western Europe started to become porous, I mean, for lack of a better word. Can you tell us what the climate was like in Berlin and the brigade before the wall actually fell?
Well, I had noticed a change in the demeanor and the character of the Russian guards, or, you know, the checkpoint officers, Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie. When I first arrived in 1987, they were surly, they were arrogant, we're not trying to be very convenient on our passages through the checkpoint. 1989, late 1988, I sort of saw that character change some. I remember it was in 1989, we had returned back from the West from the major training exercise, and, you know, we had these different training blocks. You know, I believe red block was holidays, blue block was individual training and allowing the soldiers to, you know, go to school, academic school. Yellow block was range firing and weapons qualification. And the green block was when you actually had collective unit size training, platoon, company, and above. And so we're coming out of a yellow slash green block where we were involved in the West. We're back in the city, and I was still a company executive officer. This is when we start getting the reports that a lot of East Germans are pouring over into West Germany. They're coming over into West Berlin. And I got an order from battalion as a company executive officer to send my field kitchen unit out to the Grunewald, to the forest. And, you know, they were sent out on a humanitarian mission. And every day, because we were in blue block, David, our soldiers were being tasked to go out there and help the mess staff in serving what seemingly were refugees that were coming across the border. And as we were getting into the summer of 89 and into the fall, that activity only picked up. And where it was just teams of people that were pouring over. And the idea was that the East German government, headed by Honecker, was trying to just bleed out any type of dissent that was in East Germany, thinking that, you know, all of the dissenters would just leave, and in a few moments you could, I mean, a few weeks you could just go back to the status quo. But it just continued and continued to flow over. So there was a concern that, you know, at one time with the East Germans in a very violent and physical way, you know, try to slam the door shut and would not allow any more East German evacuation. And then what would be our response to that if it was violent?
As the summer of 1989 progressed into the fall of 89, was there any indication that something was going on or something was going to happen or that basically the situation was going to come to a head in Berlin?
It you know, you always felt it, but you just didn't know how it was going to manifest itself. And things were happening at such a, breakneck speed, and you were in the middle of it. And, you know, you're just like one actor in this big event. You knew something big was going to happen. You just didn't know how.
Was there anything else about Berlin you wanted to add that you didn't get a chance to add?
Well, serving in Berlin was a great time. Of course, coming in Berlin in 1987, it was still a tense period in Europe, in a tense period in Berlin. One thing you grab from that moment is, you know, Ronald Reagan standing at the Brandenburg Gate and you know, challenging the Soviets that if they really believed in freedom and liberty, they would start by tearing down this wall. Well, it came about that Gorbachev and the Soviets didn't tear down the wall, but the Germans tore down the wall. But I guess the lesson is when you stand on principle for the right reasons, and you go back and look at the history where Reagan's aides did not want him to make that comment about tearing down a wall and how he went back and forth about putting it in and taking it out of the speech. But he said that not to be bellicose, but he said that because it was the right thing to say. It was the right principle thing to say, and he stuck to it, and I think we're better for it in this world today. And definitely the Berliners and the Germans in Europe totally are better for it today.
Oh, yes, and it definitely was also the right time to say it, without a doubt. Now let's fast forward. You've left Berlin. You've left Fort Benning, and now, well, here you are today, member of the Texas House of Representatives.
Right. After graduating from the military U.S. Army and following discharge in 1992, I eventually returned back to Houston. Starting a career as a public school teacher, history, government, economics. And after a few years in Houston, I acted upon one of my lifelong dreams. I moved out to rural Texas and continued teaching, but always was involved in politics as a grassroots conservative activist, as a grassroots pro-life activist. And 2010, I sensed that it was an opportunity for some people with some new ideas, a new spirit of leadership to step forward in East Texas. I took advantage of that. We ran a very issue-oriented, focused campaign that was quantitatively based. And you know, the people evaluated us, sent us to Austin as a member of the Texas legislature. We were sworn in 2011. And I would say, David, it's been just a fabulous experience of some of the things that we've been involved in and we've been able to do for the people of East Texas.
Wow. That you wait, so That's awesome. Awesome. I mean, that's as far as, you know, this is what you do. And next thing you know, you're dead. That is fantastic.
Yes, and East Texas has a high rate of veterans. So I don't serve on the House committee that deals directly with veterans activities. and services and issues. But what I do, David, you never forget where you come from. And the military has provided an immense amount of opportunities and experiences that I would have never had if I would not have made that voluntary commitment. So I remember that, and I had the opportunity to work with other members of the legislature on making sure that our returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan have educational opportunities, our veterans that have been given the ultimate sacrifice, their families are honored and their service is honored. And those veterans that are returning back severely disabled, that we're able to extend to them some property relief that's well-deserved for protecting our freedom and our way of life here in Texas.
Wow. I had recently heard about that, and that's a very good thing. And as a vet, thank you. And, well, you're a vet, so thank yourself as well. That is definitely a good thing. And, yeah, some things, we just got to do.
I don't know about any other state, but I will go ahead and make an uninformed opinion. I think Texas is a great state for veterans, and especially her veterans that have volunteered from the state of Texas. And I'm just proud to be a part of Texas just on that what we do for our veterans upon their return along with their families.
Oh, yeah. That support definitely runs the gamut. I mean, from Desert Storm, Desert Shield, even further back, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, the Cold War, obviously, what we were in, and Iraqi freedom and enduring freedom and the war on terror up until now. But, let's not forget the World War II veterans. A lot of great stuff there with them that's been going on. And it seems that as the years go by, more and more services are being steered in the direction of the veterans because it's just kind of one of those things that, again, like I said, it's got to be done.
And you just think about all of the experiences, the training that these veterans have acquired in the military, and to be able to keep that talent and those experiences here in the state of Texas is I think it's a plus for the state.
Oh yeah, most certainly is that. That talent is deep, it's wide, it's varied, and it's awesome.
Absolutely.
In what House committees do you currently serve on? I know you alluded to the fact that you do not serve on the Veterans Committee, but even that, it's just a matter of time.
Yes, sir. Not on the Veterans Committee, but we still take care of them. We're still involved. But the two committees that I serve on, the House Committee on Corrections and also the House Committee on County Affairs. The House Committee on Corrections deals with the third main thing that the Texas budget appropriates for. Generally, I say, David, in the state of Texas, about 90% of the budget is consumed by doing one of three things: educate, Medicaid, incarcerate. Okay? That's pretty much the Texas budget. And unfortunately, when we do have lawbreakers, there is a penalty to pay back to society, and that involves incarceration. And that's the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, along with our juvenile justice system. I serve on that committee. And I also serve on the Committee of County Affairs. I live in a rural area in East Texas, and a lot of services are delivered by the county. And county government is very important throughout Texas, but looms extremely large in our rural areas of Texas, especially East Texas. So knowing that I have at least, I think anywhere you stand in House District 12, we are within probably about 50% of the prison population in Texas. And even in my district, we have at least three prison facilities. These facilities are very important to the safety of Texans, and also they serve as a source of employment and jobs for many of the people of East Texas. So two very important committees when you're looking at rural Texas.
Yeah, most definitely. And yes, I'm aware of the budget and how that was and where it all goes to.
For a while there, I was quite familiar with how the state of Texas budget worked and how the distribution went. But again, it's also one of those things that, you know, you're kind of unaware of how big the distribution, say, for corrections goes or is.
And when I say corrections, you know, the whole public safety operation. Okay. But yes, in the state of Texas, yeah, that's generally what we do. Educate, medicate, incarcerate.
Oh, yeah, and any of those three, education, medication, incarceration, definitely is our hot topic items anywhere in this nation, not just in the state of Texas, but we are here in Texas, and that's what we're talking about. And we're talking to State of Texas Representative James White from the 12th District here in the state of Texas, East Texas, that is. But you know what? We're talking a little bit about that, but we're also talking about Berlin, and we're talking about the Berlin Brigade and his time there, too.
But even the experience I had in Berlin, it just impacts your life forever. So even on county affairs and on corrections, you know, you always draw back to something in Berlin, you know. So just the experience of being a veteran. And knowing in rural Texas, a lot of our veterans return back to, rural East Texas. And so it still impacts my thinking, even on those two committees.
Oh, I to this day still draw back on references to my time in Berlin. It was brief, but it made such a lasting impact. You know, I draw upon the examples and situations and things that took place in Berlin, draw back on them for my personal life, my professional life, dealing with my family, my kids, my employees at any level. I too am a small business owner. So it's kind of one of those that Berlin was kind of just globally impacted our lives. And I know to this day, a lot of the former vets that I talked to from Berlin, they still draw back on those things. And I think that's something we're never, ever going to be able to shake, because that it had such an impact in our lives that we still draw back on it even now.
Yes, sir.
And on that note, I think our time here is just about up. Representative White, if I'm going to give the microphone over to you. And if there's anything that we missed or you want to make sure you talk about, now's the time, because you know what? The floor is yours.
Yes, sir. David, I want to thank you for this opportunity. And I want to just give a great shout out for all our veterans, but in particular, in this instance, to those that served inside East Germany, inside Berlin. And Berlin will always be in our hearts. It will always be a symbol of American vigilance, American resolve, and the idea that freedom will prevail. It may take a while for it to prevail, but it will prevail. And that's what lives in our hearts. That's what makes Berlin such a special place, especially if you're an American soldier, because in Berlin, you experience the goodness of this country and our commitment to freedom, not only in the United States, but throughout this world. So I definitely want to thank the Lord. I want to thank the nation for giving me that opportunity to serve, and especially serve in Berlin, Germany.
Everybody, I guess it's time to say great big BerlinBrigade.com thanks to Texas State Representative James White, District 12 here in the state of Texas, serving the Lufkin area, which was in East Texas.
I don't live in Lufkin, but I do serve Lufkin in the legislature.
Thank you very much for talking with us today. It's been a wonderful conversation and a great time. And we originally had planned for about a 20-minute talk. We are well into an hour of our conversation. But, hey, it happens. Once we get to talking about Berlin, hey, all bets are off.
Yes, sir.
That's a very good
common experience, but a great experience.
Well, it may be a common experience, it's also what makes it a very unique experience, because it's our experience.
Absolutely.
So, sir, thank you very much for joining us. It has been a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much.
Again, I want to give a great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to State of Texas, State Representative James White of District 12 in the great state of Texas, East Texas, that is. He is also a former member of Alpha Company, 5th Battalion, 502nd Infantry from 1987 to 1990. He was a platoon leader, mortar platoon leader, a company executive officer, and of course he was the battalion property book officer. And again, thank you, sir, for taking the time to talk to us. It was a lot of fun, and we look forward to hearing from you real soon. As we start to wrap up this episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, as always, I invite you to call and leave a voice message or audio comment on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline at +1 413-274-4233. Again, that's +1 413-274-4233. Who knows? It might just show up on the next episode. So again, call in. No problem. Also, please don't forget, you can always send us comments, concerns, questions, reunion information, especially reunion information, and of course, show ideas to dave@berlinbrigade.com. Also, if you or someone you know has something to share with us, please drop me a note at dave@berlinbrigade.com, and we'll schedule a time and date for an interview. And before you know it, you're on the show, you're here on the podcast, and your message is getting out to everybody. So again, don't hesitate. My email address is dave@berlinbrigade.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Yeah, hey, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/berlinbrigade. Berlin Brigade is all one word, or the @ Berlin Brigade. That's our Twitter name, our Twitter handle. And as always, the hashtag is #BBDE. Again, that's the hashtag is the pound sign or the tic-tac-toe sign. So you do that, hashtag, and then BBDE, and that's our hashtag, and that's how we can look you up. So if you're talking about Berlin, put that hashtag out there, or just, you know, hey, include us in the conversation. Also, don't forget to like us on our Facebook page, and you can find the Facebook page by going to facebook.com/BerlinBrigade. Or you can follow the links on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. They're all there. So again, we invite you to stop by and follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, join our conversation there on Facebook. Anything you want, we got it there for you. We're social. Well, everyone, that's it for the 36th edition of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra. Thank you for spending this time with me. And so until next time, let me be one of the last people to wish you, your family, and your friends a very happy, wonderful, and prosperous new year in 2012. Auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade! The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a Dave Guerra production. Thank you.